From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest lights that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 21 of Flashpoint. As always, it's great to be here, and the main reason it's always great to be here is because of these two young lads with me. This week, I'll say hi first to Mark. How are you, Mark?
I've had better days. In fact, today has been a terrible day, but it's all good now. I had a computer outage that took me hours to get resolved, but as you can tell, I'm back up and running, so
I'd say that'd be BioWare's fault, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Everything's their fault at the moment. And young Ed Wilson, who has very nicely, as always, dragged himself out of bed at some ungodly hour. How are you, Ed?
What did you say?
I need to copyright those sound effects. You do them so well.
That soundboard going, the Ed soundboard.
So let's launch straight in, because I'm stating the obvious. There's a hell of a lot of stuff to get through, so let's start off with some news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
Okay, so since 2 weeks ago, you know, leading up to launch, lots going on. It's just absolutely frantic from BioWare's end, and there's no shortage of stuff to talk about. So let's start with, well, the beta finishing. It doesn't get much bigger than that. So for those of you that had beta access, it finished up. I've actually lost track now. It'd be about a week now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, coming up to a week since we lost access to the beta, quite rightly, as they, you know, batten down the hatches for launch. So, boys, what was your final thoughts of those final few days of play? Did they sort of change anything for you, or just made you keener than ever? Ed first.
Very little could make me more keen for this game. Very, very little. I will say that I was somewhat surprised. There were things that I was still finding out about the game, even all the way up until, you know, until the final server shut down for the beta. I was finding things. I was looking at things and going, oh, that's new. Haven't seen that before. That's pretty freaking cool. And they've changed things and, you know, make the commando a little less overpowered than the Vanguard or the Trooper. And oh yes, the ship combat. I can't say enough about the ship combat, but I won't drag it off topic. My only complaint about the beta finishing was that it finished and we had to stop playing it.
Yeah, I could agree with that, Mark.
I loved it. I loved everything about it. I even felt the good side, I won't say the dark side, because I actually did play a couple of Republic tunes just to give them a whirl. And, you know, I got a good chance to try out all the different classes, and I really couldn't find fault with any of them. I really enjoyed the story aspect. I think it's an excellent new sort of, you know, thing in MMOs, this whole storytelling to your leveling. And look, I just wanted to keep playing. I wanted to find out what happened next in the story with each of the characters. And, you know, in particular, the Sith Warrior and Sith Inquisitor ones I really liked on the Sith side. And, I just really can't wait to get started and then to work my way through them.
So I think we're all in violent agreement. I did a lot less play than you guys, but managed to get my dear old smuggler up to something like level 16 or 17. And I noticed from our poll on what people are rolling, the smuggler is a massive last place at about 7% as to what people are going to roll. And I said last time that I wasn't that big a fan. He grew on me, but there were still some aspects I go, it's not that interesting. And interestingly, the agent is the second lowest. So that class is not very popular.
That's odd. I I enjoyed The Agent and Smuggler a great deal. Of course, I've always enjoyed gunslingers, you know, people who shoot much more than people who swing glow sticks around. Maybe it's just, yeah, it must be just me. Give me a blaster any day. You guys can have your force. I'll take high explosive rounds.
Exactly. But, I mean, I do agree with you. All the classes had their strengths, and I did play a few other ones until level 2 or 3 just from a pure selfishness viewpoint to get lots of different pictures of areas in the game for use on the website. And because I've absolutely loved constantly stopping and going, wow, that looks really cool. You know, the vistas of a lot of the stuff is just amazing. So I even played a Jedi Knight and really enjoyed the first couple of levels of that. So... yes, it's over. Yeah. Well, only for a few days. So, yeah, beta's over. And obviously linking to that is the... well, sorry, not linking to that, but they still have released information. And this past update, the Friday update, has been on the Sith Inquisitor, which, as an aside, is the most popular tune according to our own poll, and the progression video. So... Mark, what were your thoughts on the video?
Well, look, the Sith Inquisitor is really badass. There's no question about it. It's the first character I played in the beta when I was first on it. And, like, it's like the Druid in WoW. It's a really versatile class. You can be a healer, you can be DPS or a tank, basically. I know in my guild... I've got way more Sith Inquisitors than any other class by a long shot. I've almost got three times the amount of Sith Inquisitors than I do any other class. But yeah, for a valid reason, they are badass. And this video just emphasizes that. Everything about the Sith Inquisitor is badass.
Ed, what did you like? You love these videos.
Oh, I have not disliked a single progression video that they've put out yet. Everything that they've put out has just been so... well done. But the Inquisitor progression video, I don't know if I want to fight one of these guys, to tell you the truth. I look at that, I'm like, ew, ew.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I did a little bit of PvP in the beta, and I won't talk about it tonight, but loved Alderaan, because that was really the only PvP I got into. And, yeah, the Inquisitors were a pain in the ass to fight. They were just, yeah, they'd kick your ass and you couldn't do anything about it.
Sadly, that probably means it's going to be the first nerfed character after launch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're
yeah, the Trooper was seriously overpowered at the beginning of beta, and the Sith Inquisitor is seriously overpowered at the end of beta. So we'll see. We'll see what they do at launch.
So, yeah, video thumbs up, and it's only going to, I think, add to the huge numbers of people rolling them. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see the balances once launch actually hits. Mm-hmm. And speaking of launch, the other thing announced just in the last day or so is the locations of the physical launch events, and there are four of them. So one is in BioWare's home city of Austin, Texas. Another one in New York at Best Buy, and then two in Europe, London and Paris. Although after the weekend's events with the Euro stuff, I'm not sure how many Europeans see Britain as part of Europe anymore, but that's another story. So, yeah, there's four events. They'll obviously be exciting for the people that can actually get to them. I don't, you know, there's no real impact for Oceanic players unless someone out there is going to fly over for them, in which case do let us know, and happy to have you cover the event, including some remuneration. But I somehow doubt no one's that keen. Mark, you're not flying over, are you?
Not anytime soon, no.
No. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, there'll be big rah-rah sessions where they launch the game. There'll be lots of people in costumes, I'm assuming, and one of the BioWare founders, and that'll be it really, won't it?
Yeah, probably. I may be driving through that area at some point, but, you know, the way life has worked out recently, I'm not going to be able to play at launch. I'm doomed.
Yeah, so
I'm doomed. Yeah. My life is over.
So, Ed, you were saying you're out of the loop from, was it the 17th to the 24th of December?
Yeah, I get to drive a U-Haul full of stuff. I'm not going to be able to play the game at launch.
The only
I'm
good thing,
sad, man.
The only good thing driving that phase, you'll probably come across plenty of real world smugglers and agents.
God, I hope not. Crossing customs is tough enough when you don't have to deal with smugglers too.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's any consolation, I don't think we'll be playing at launch either, but the sounds of it, yes, we'll be able to play the early access, but as soon as it's launch day, we're getting shut down until whenever our boxes arrive, and to be honest, that can be any time. Yeah. So
we're going to talk about that in much detail later on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that wasn't that. Yeah, that was shut up, Ed. We'll talk about it soon.
Please don't beat me, David. Please don't beat me.
So yeah, shame you won't be there, Ed. But you know, we'll say hi from level 50. So it's all good. And the third announcement just gone is the launch of a new. Well, it hasn't been launched. Well, has it? The community blog. I'm just thinking the first post actually was on the community blog, announcing the community blog. So that'll be apparently the go-to place to get information on what's happening with the game alongside the new forums. And anyone that's used the official forums know that they are no longer in existence until... Is it until launch?
I think it is.
Until the 13th, until the pre-early access. Yeah. And nobody who has... anybody who doesn't have a game installed and... I don't know whether or not you have to have the code or not, but you probably don't. They say you can access the forums starting on the 13th, but whether or not you'll be able to post on the forums, this is a little annoying to me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know the forums will require, as you said, an active subscription to be able to post on the forums, and I'm assuming that the early access, the pre-order codes won't get you. Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Don't know the answer to that one. Mm. I don't have an issue with the forums now. It's not as if I had 95 chapters of fan fiction sitting on there that have just disappeared overnight, so I think it's all good. What about you, Ed?
Luckily, I had some warning. They gave us about 4 days warning, so I managed to back up everything. But, I've been working on this fan fiction story arc since 2008. Not all of them are good. Most of them actually aren't very good. But I'm rather annoyed. Yes, I'm gonna stick with that. I'm rather annoyed. If I start ranting, my roommate will have to put me in a headlock.
I mean, for what it's worth, I can see why they did what they did, because there was an enormous volume of posts there, and they needed to do something. I don't know how they could have done it. Maybe even had it as an archive section, and I understand that's easier said than done with the volume. But maybe archived everything pre-launch and have it as a separate access point or whatever, because you know there are a lot of people that have got 5, 10, 15,000 posts, and some people say we'll get a life, but for those people there'd be stuff they'd like to keep.
I didn't realize until I started backing things up just exactly how big, how much I'd written for some of this stuff. Let me pull up one of them, just one of them. It was a fan fiction called Taming of the Shades. It's a co-authored fan fiction between me and someone else. It was 22 pages of posts on the thread. So how many pages is this?
That shows you there's a lot of Roy Orbison fans out there.
Just a few. This is 512 pages in Word.
Okay, yeah, so
that's
huge.
One fan fiction. That's the biggest one, mind you. But, it's gone. You're right. They need to wipe the thing. They need to remove. There's a lot of stuff that's on there that's inflammatory. There's a lot of stuff that's on there that's, you know, just trolls being trolls or people being negative because they can, or this, that, and the other thing. But there was a lot of really good stuff on there, and then the role play boards are the ones who really got screwed. because some of those, one of them in particular, a guy, writer by the name of Fire Mage, has been writing this one RP thread basically since 2009. You know, they go for 100 pages, they start a new thread, they go for 100 pages, they start a new thread. I think they were on the 15th of that, and it's all gone.
Yeah, it's just one of those no-win situations. You're right, as far as you put a lot of your heart and soul into this stuff, but also from BioWare's end, it's their property and they need to reset it. So, you know, an archive might have been nice, but I'm guessing it was a storage issue. Who knows?
Yeah, probably.
But it'd be just interesting, you know, post-launch with the new forums, you have to have an active subscription to post. I think that'll get rid of some of the trolling and stuff. It won't get rid of all of it by any means. And for some people that have been banned, it's a new start for them, because they've, you know, anyone that's had infractions and been banned, that's all now gone, and they have a chance to prove themselves again. So I suppose it gives some people a new start, a new hope, even.
A new hope, huh?
So there's the pun for the night. So that was really the news coming out of BioWare. There's lots more stuff, but I think we need to get down to the real fat chewing on some key issues. So the biggie, the big no grace period. So I'm going to quickly summarise this for people that listen to the podcast but aren't totally following Star Wars The Old Republic news day to day. Basically, there are a few key milestones. So on the 13th of December, so really the 14th of December, or it could be late on the 13th of December, Australia, New Zealand time, depending on when they do the emails, you'll be getting an email from then on telling you when you get early access, based on the assumption that you pre-ordered the game prior to... Well, I think you can still pre-order now if you can find a copy. So it's first in, best dress. So the people that pre-ordered way back in July, late July, which I know... I'm pretty sure all three of us are in that boat, yeah?
Yep.
So we, you know, around the 13th, I'm assuming we'll get an email saying you've got early access pretty much from now. But BioWare have been very guarded over giving any commitments on if you pre-ordered at this date, you'll, you know, have early access from such and such date. And I totally don't blame them for that. I can imagine what a can of worms it'd open if they'd publicised that.
You think?
So that's right. So you then have your pre-order code. That's already, you've already entered that. You use your game client to log in to the game, and it's your pre-order code that's giving you that access. You play away happily, and then on midnight of the 12:01 a.m. on the 20th of December, as official launch, you need to have your actual game code, so the lovely little code on the card or wherever it is in the actual box itself. You need to be able to have that to be able to continue to access the game. And the reason for, it's fair to say, a fair bit of uproar is that the impression had been given, and some people say it was an outright statement, that there would be a grace period, whether it was, I don't know, 7 days, 14 days, where you could still run on the pre-order code to give those that had ordered from online retailers the chance for it to arrive in the mail so they could enter the game code. On the launch, it was announced. On the announcement last week, it was announced that there would be no grace period. So, if on 12:01 a.m. on the 20th of December you don't have your box in front of you, then you lose your access until you get the same box. Now, there are a whole bunch of people affected by that, including people in the US in the launch territories. But the people most affected are those outside the launch territories that are waiting on much longer ship times from online retailers such as Amazon. So, and I'll get your guys' impressions in a sec. For me, mine's not arriving according to the order shipment and to order summary until the 10th of January.
Horrid thought, David. If you play the early access and you don't get your code until later, until the game arrives, I'm going to get mine on the 20th or the 21st, because I'm having it next aid. I knew that this was going to be a big order, that everything was going to be, that it was going to run late and all this, that, and the other thing. But, I mean, I'm not even going to be here in the country to play the game. Are they going to wipe the characters?
You mean between early access and launch?
Yeah, well, between early access, if you don't have your code, will they wipe the character?
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm trawling through. There was a statement, mate. You are going to have a non-grace period. From what I mean by that is, I'm sure...
non-grace period? What?
That, I doubt they would do that quickly. So using the inevitable World of Warcraft as example, you can have your account lapse and your character and all its progression and inventory isn't gone forever. That as soon as you enter that game code and go back to the game, it's all there for you. So I can't for a minute imagine it's any different with this. But as far as, the grace period thing has left, the perception from a lot of people is they've been left in the lurch. There's been a lot of anger directed at BioWare. The lucky people that are copping all that anger are Stephen Reed, to a large extent, actually, and the rest of the community team. He's, if you read Stephen Reed's Twitter account, he's been just constantly fielding inquiries and reassuring people that they're working with retailers to try and get the game shipped as soon as possible to minimize the gap. But he's also been upfront saying, well, because there's no grace period, people that live further away are going to have a gap where they can't play the game. So, people are unhappy about that. I've gone to
one word.
Exactly.
And that was two words.
That was one word. That was gah.
So, and I even on our humble little site, I've been getting dozens of inquiries a day just from people asking, what do I do here? What do I do there? How does this work? Lots of comments on the post about the no grace period. I've written about this. I've gone to the extent of I've actually ordered a second copy of the game, just the standard edition, and I'm having it shipped to a friend in San Francisco, thank God, who is going to be around and happy to open the box and read the code or email me the code so that, and I've organized for the Amazon are offering a shipping option that it arrives there at the day of launch. So he's going to send me the code and then I will get a second copy of the game around the 10th of January that I won't have any need for. And so, if I was just playing the game without running a website, there's no way I'd be doing that because I've just doubled my expense for no outcome. So it's a shame. I doubt that BioWare in control of that would be to do with distribution and Electronic Arts and the retailers, and I'd hate to be Stephen Reed fielding all that stuff. I don't think he can be particularly blamed for anything aside from any messaging that was done about there being a grace period and then that being withdrawn. And again, that probably wasn't his decision anyway.
Now, it does sound like something, Electronic Arts would do.
Yeah, exactly. And Mark, any thoughts? What's the feedback been from your guild?
Oh, a lot of pissed off people, to be honest, understandably. It does kind of feel that we've been left in the lurch, doesn't it? But like me personally, I'm quite happy that we are getting the early access. The most important thing for me personally is I want to go on and get the names for my characters that I wanted, which I will be able to do with early access. So, around Christmas time, I'll probably be doing stuff with the family anyway. So, personally, I would have preferred it if they launched the game in November because I won't get much of a chance to play it around Christmas. So, if the box doesn't arrive for a few days, I won't lose any sleep over it. But yeah, as long as I get my two names, I'll be happy.
Yeah, and I think the only really legitimate argument I've seen to date about how the grace period really affects people are those in guilds that are across different geographies. So, they're going, half my guildies are going to be, at level 15 or 20 or 30 or whatever before I even start, and that, stuffs my experience with the guild. So I can see the point there. Beyond that, you're right, it's Christmas time for a lot of people that are lucky enough to have families. They'll be spending time offline anyway. But, yeah, I don't know, it just didn't seem to have been handled that well. But
yeah,
that's the way it's looking. And so, you know, I've already explained early access. That's for those of you that got it, enjoy it. I know I'm looking forward to the email, although like a lot of people have day jobs, so I'll only be doing, you know, an hour or two here or there. And one advantage is that the Star Wars The Old Republic forum's been down is our own forums, and I'm sure most other fan site and guild forums are seeing a hell of a lot more activity.
I'm glad there is an upside to that.
Yeah, well, I miss those 95 chapters. I'm pining for them already, Ed. And we quite seriously need to publish them. We need to get them into a document and, you know, free ebook download or something on the website. We need to talk about that. Or maybe not a free one. Maybe you could become a millionaire. I'm happy to sell them for you. Whatever works. And the last thing I had before we talk more generally was last fortnight we talked about a suggestion from an Oceanic player about an unofficial PvE server. The one suggested was Pulsifer. It was a really interesting reaction to that in that there was a fair bit of outrage from a lot of key people from some of the larger Oceanic guilds who were angry at the suggestion of an unofficial server, because part of the point of the Oceanic Guild Daisy chain is to have the guilds on at one or possibly two servers, and therefore they are really the unofficial Oceanic server, so why split Oceanic players and confuse them by having this other suggestion? My stance at the time was, well, look, it's not an either-or argument. There are a lot of people that like to solo content and not be involved heavily in guilds, so what? But the pushback was pretty full-on. I still say, look, I don't particularly care either way, but I can see the point that, you know, why not wait for the announcement of the actual servers the Daisy chains will be on, and that way you know that you've got a server with lots of Oceanic players. But again, if you're a solo player, well, do you really even care? Mark, what's your thoughts as a one heavily interested in this?
Yeah, well, actually, I attended the meeting the other day, the PvE guilds that were all Daisy chained up, and they never actually talked about this. Sorry, what was the name of the server
you said? Pulsifer.
Like, I think, you know, the whole idea behind getting an unofficial Oceanic server is so that, you know, we can get players in our own time zone to group up when, certainly from playing in the beta and the heroic areas and that, you know, it's a game that you're going to need to group up with. Some of these areas, there's just no way you can solo them. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, the whole idea of getting this unofficial server is so that, yeah, you do get a number of players that are in your own time zone. Now, I think as it stands, this PvE Daisy chain that my guild's a part of, we're talking over 1,000 players all up in this Daisy chain. That's a hell of a lot of players in your time zone that's hopefully all going to be on the one server. The one thing I will point out, and it was brought up at this meeting, was that I don't know where they got this info, but the word was that as far as Daisy chains go, Bioware basically said that they're going to aim for around 9 guilds. I think that's the way I understood it, the way the conversation was going. And I think our Daisy chain that we're in is over 20 guilds. So I don't know if we're going to be split down and put on two servers or what. I think really the prudent thing to do is just see which way the wind's blowing in early access. We're all going to find out what servers we're going to be assigned by Bioware tomorrow, I believe, on Monday. So, you know, that'll give us a better idea if this Daisy chain's getting split up or if it's not. And if it's not, I would suggest to anybody that's in the Oceanic region, join the server that we're going to be on, because it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to find groups.
Yep.
I do agree with that point. I suppose it's really, if you're a hardcore soloist that doesn't care, then I suppose you could argue, well, why would you care about an unofficial PvE server that's outside this anyway? So, yeah, it's a good point. I there was a lot of outrage, and I'm going, well, it's not an either-or. It's like, you can have two positions on this, but all that said, yeah, I'm on standby to promote as widely as I can the Daisy Chain server selection, and have been talking to a few guilds who have said, look, are you okay to promote this? Of course we are. That's what we're here for, to help Oceanic players, which is why we also helped the person that suggested the possible one. So we're not taking sides, and nor should we.
No.
And for those Oceanic guilds that are wanting to get on our guild listing, by the way, please don't hesitate to still email them through via our contact form. I'm still getting quite a few of them come in, and I will link, I'll run a post. There is a great, more of a database on one of the guild sites that escapes me at the moment. I'm sorry. And it's probably a much more superior listing to ours, but the reality is a lot of people look at our listing because it's on a high traffic site. So yeah, send through the guilds. But one point to people, don't get snooty or snarky if it's not up there immediately. It's done weekly. And I had an interesting email from someone saying, hey, you're really stuffing around our guild by not listing this, move your ass. And when I look back through the history, they hadn't actually supplied all the details, and I'd replied to them and asked them to supply the appropriate details and never had a response. And said, ouch, look, maybe get your facts right and then submit it. And to their credit, they've submitted the details now, and that'll go up next week. But, you know, it's not as if you're paying us to have the listing. So try and be civil, people.
Yes.
I'm a precious little petal, and I get upset by these things.
David, I hate to say this, but precious and little... I'm sorry. The image that came to mind is not something I can put over the airwaves.
No, that's
put over the net. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't tend to be too... I can be precious at times. Don't I, Gail? See, now I've given Gail her weekly... I'm now sort of committed to a weekly voice mention of Gail, and we are going to get her on the podcast. She doesn't realise this yet. We're going to have to get her on post-launch. And actually, that raised a really good point. We will be doing a lot more interviews and stuff post-launch. We'll be getting guild masters on. We'll be having an interview with BioWare. Not that BioWare are aware of this yet, but obviously post-launch when things, in quotation marks, quieten down, which they won't, but I will approach the guys from BioWare for a bit of a guest spot to talk about things. And obviously if and when an Australian launch is announced, which there's no sign of that on the horizon. The only bit of information I do have, and this is nothing to do with a launch date, is I do know that the guys at BioWare have said that they will all be fighting like cats and dogs to determine who gets to come down here to check out Australia. So we could get someone rather notable or interesting or both coming down for whenever there is a launch, but they're certainly not talking about that at this stage, and nor would you so close to the first launch.
Who knows? I might even be able to get down there for the first launch.
Now, that would be a highlight of my life. if you think I'm paying for you, you got something coming. Or we could put in for a collection. We could ask podcast listeners. We've got enough now. Maybe if everyone put in $10,000, we could afford to bring you down. That's how many, you know, listeners we have. So, yeah, anything else from you two? I feel like I've rushed through that, and I also feel like I've talked way too much, so I apologise for that. And Ed, you've been quiet, and so, you know, what else would you like to talk about?
I have only one thing to say to you, sir. Only one thing. And that is, knee!
Is that like the knights who go knee from Monty
we
Python?
We are the knights who say knee! Sorry.
Oh, actually...
Is that your guild name?
My guild name is Bladeborn. That's a different story entirely.
You have reminded me of one crucial point, is that this podcast will see the debut of a segment after the main podcast titled Star Wars Addicts Anonymous, and it's hosted by the one and only Ed alongside another supreme character who I'm probably not going to explain anymore because I think people should just listen to the segment, but it's great fun and I'm looking forward to being a regular thing.
Did you just give away the secret? You said it was like anonymous and then you went by Ed.
No.
It's not so anonymous now.
No,
who says I'm using my real name? This is the internet after all.
Oh, is this all right? Okay. Is this you doing Carlos the Jackal again?
Yeah. So, yeah, great segment. Looking forward to more of them. And if anyone else out there is interested in providing segments, again, please get in touch. The more stuff we have from the community, the better. So, yeah, that'll be following this. It runs for about, I think, 8 minutes from memory.
Yeah, about that.
So it's good stuff. Mark, anything from you, sir?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Gee, we've even come in on time. I was convinced we're going to break an hour this time, but we're just so efficient.
There was one thing, actually, I forgot about. Was did you notice there was a bit of a stuff-up with regards to the client this week? And yeah. they basically said, yeah, keep your beta clients because you're going to be able to use them in parts of them. And then all of a sudden there was an email came out and it said, yeah, delete your clients. We're not going to be any use. And then I think it was the next day they came out again and said, by the way, keep your clients. You're going to be able to use them. It's like, well,
yeah.
What do we do?
There was a lot of confusion. And my understanding, and please jump in and correct me is if I'm wrong, but those that played prior to the 26th of November in the betas do need to delete their client and reinstall. Those that played on that weekend of the 25th, 26th onwards had a client that could be updated to the launch client, and all of us were in that boat. And yep. the download to update was fairly minimal. And then there is a post somewhere, and it'd be on the FAQs, that tells you to look for a particular file. It was an assets file that if you see that in the folder, you know that you've got the launch ready version, which I know I've checked and I do. So, but if in doubt, delete it if you're happy to download. What is it, 27 gigabytes or whatever it is of
something like that.
Content. I think about that.
There is a download link now, isn't there, for the full client now, so...
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And if you check the website, there is a post on there with the link to download the new version. So, yes, so we've all got game-ready clients. So we are finally, shout-outs, as always, email address contact@toros.com.au. Love to hear from you. Would love your questions, comments, feedback. And while I think of it, a big thank you to the people that have provided reviews, and I think it was 5-star across the board for the handful of people that have provided ratings on iTunes for the podcast. Really appreciate that. So that was great. Forgot to mention that last week. On Twitter, we're SWTOROZ. And Twitter, in case you hadn't realised already, that's Stephen Reed's communication of choice, it seems. And there's a very real community growing on Twitter and it's going off. We're on Google Plus. We have a Google Plus page. If you Google Plus for Toros, we're on Facebook under the same. And I think that's probably it. And we'll be back in a fortnight, although possibly early. I haven't talked to you lads about that, but given what's happening in a week's time, maybe we should think of a week.
I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I'm going to be on the road.
Oh, that's true. All right. We might talk about, yeah. We might even get in a... Gail, you might be up next week.
Right. No, I want to be part of it when she comes on and okay. doesn't have a clue what's going on.
All right. All right, fair enough. We'll work out something. So, again, thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll keep in touch until next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, huts and wookies, Ewoks of all ages, Toros.com.au proudly brings to you the greatest intergalactic team ever assembled from Nar Shaddaa to Tatooine and everywhere in between. Introducing first, from the galactic vanguard, the terrific trooper, the man who can get it done, Ed, and his teammate, from parts unknown, the sexy smuggler, the gyrating gunslinger, Colin!
Yay! Welcome to Star Wars Addicts!
Anonymous. That's right. I am actually Ed's roommate. You hear him every other week on Flashpoint. My name is Colin, and sitting beside me here is the man himself, Ed. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Except the beta's not up.
Oh, man, that pisses me right off.
I'm an addict, and I can't get my fix. I'm just so strung out, man. I'm just so strung out. I gotta have my fix, man. I gotta have my fix, man.
You have a future in acting.
Why, thank you.
Bad acting, but still acting.
Well, man, be that way.
So basically what we're going to try and cover in this show, if we actually get the chance to include it, is everything that they can't really include on the regular Flashpoint. So we're going to push forward and move on. The first thing we're going to actually cover is that both Ed and I have done extensive beta testing, me on the weekends, him being lucky enough to get into the actual beta, and we found a few bugs. Ed, you want to talk about a couple of the ones you found?
Yeah, there were these bugs that were flying around that I had to blast. You know, the Geonosians are big and they're ugly. You know, you saw them in Attack of the Clones and they're flying around and you got to blast them, you know, pull out your cannon and shoot them down, blow them right out of the air. It's really fun when you use an explosive round on them and they go.
I'm talking about bugs with the game, dude.
Oh, duh. Oops. Yeah, it's a beta. I mean, you're gonna find bugs. That's the whole point of beta, right?
Yes, sure. You found that big one with the Jedi quest.
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of people found that. It was a big class quest bug. You get halfway through the quest called the Rescue, and all of a sudden, click. Wait a minute. It's not responding. What do we do? I don't know. What can we do? I know. We'll go do all the other quests and then come back and see if they fixed it. They haven't yet. Oh.
They fixed it about, what, a week later?
No, they fixed it a couple of days ago.
Okay.
I guess it's about a week and a half.
I was giving them a little more credit there. One of the major bugs I found, I'm doing the smuggler's quest, and you get to the point where you have to save that guy's daughter who's suspected of being a terrorist or a separatist, and hanging right above him is a speeder. I saw that, and I'm like, that's not supposed to be there.
That's not a bug. That's a graphics glitch.
Graphics glitch, bug, same damn thing in my world.
Weird.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of the pot and the kettle in that.
There you go. Yeah, hi, Pop. I'm Kettle. How you doing?
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. There you go.
Yeah.
Anything else that you found?
Yeah, this is the odd, you know, minor little thing with the voice acting not working or the mouth of the character not moving. You know, about fell through the floor at one point. And I just sort of fell, and all of a sudden, oh, you're back at the med center. Oh, hello.
You sure your guy wasn't just drunk and he was hallucinating?
I don't think so.
You never know.
Never know with the BioWare game, because yeah. At one point in Mass Effect 2, you actually get drunk as Commander Shepard, which was kind of hilarious, because you know, all you do is you stagger around and your vision's blurry, so... I bet you can see something like that, probably from the smuggler. My trooper's far too upright and, you know, noble and pure and all that rot.
So basically the exact opposite of you sometimes.
I resemble that remark.
Great you do. So we're going to move on from that. There's really too many bugs and glitches that we can get into in this episode. What we're going to move on to now is pros and cons of certain classes. And I decided to pick, for the first episode here, Ed's favorite class, the Trooper. So I'm going to turn it over to Ed.
You're going to turn it over to me?
Ed, give me the... First, let's start with the pros of the Trooper. And try and keep it to at least five.
Well, pros of the Trooper. One, he's a good guy. Well, sort of a good guy. You can play him either as him or whatever. As a really stalwart defender of the Republic, pure, noble, paladin, all that, or you can play him as an utter badass. You know, okay, you're in my way, and there's a bunch of bad guys over there, but you're in my way, so I'm going to shoot you to get you out of my way. Or, oh, you've taken hostages. Okay, I'll shoot the hostages.
Basically an intergalactic Dirty Harry type.
Yeah, pretty much. You can play it either way. I love that. Second pro... is you have this really heavy armor. You know, you don't run around in namby-pamby cloth or robes or, you know, all this other stuff. No. You're wearing armor. And I don't mean light armor either. I mean the heaviest armor in the game. You're running around and you've got the... Oh, you fired at me. I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
But now I've noticed you, and kablow!
Geonosian mosquito biting you there.
Oh, or something.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the third pro. The third absolute pro of the Trooper, you get a really, really big gun. And as a
you trooper, and your big guns, dude.
As a Trooper Commando, which I prefer, I'm playing a Trooper Commando. I have a level 35 now, Trooper Commando. And you have a BFG, a big freaking gun.
Gotta keep family friendly.
Gotta keep it family friendly here. You have what's called an assault cannon. And it's the size of a motorcycle. Just about. So you're running around with this weapon in hand and the bad guy comes out with a blaster pistol. Bang, 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 bang. Aim, fire. Boom! Wow. That blew him all the way. Is there anything left of him but his right shoe?
His left shoe's over there.
Yeah, his left shoe's over there. His head is way up there. Did you have to do that? That made such a mess.
Or as my friend would, or as my friend Ahmed would ask, where is he? Over there, and up there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to the cons here. You find any cons with the trooper right now? I know it's your favorite class, so you might be a little biased towards the pros.
Yeah, the main problem with the trooper when you're grouping is a lot of people don't know how to play it.
Okay.
The trooper is essentially a tank. They play as a ranged tank, which is something fairly new. I haven't seen that in a lot of MMOs. I've seen it in the sort of reasonable MMO called Tabula Rasa. There was a ranged tank called a commando who could, you know, use rocket launchers and stuff and blow things in very small pieces. But you're a tank. You're not supposed to be doing, you know, out damaging the DPS guys, the damage per second guys, and you're not supposed to be healing. One of the various specs for the commando can go combat medic, so he can heal.
Okay.
I go pure DPS route. So I just, you know, and things die. That's what I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever see Ed wearing a trooper costume, run!
Yeah.
Okay, we're about out of time, so I just want to touch on one other thing, something I was reading today. The WoW usage, World of Warcraft usage, is actually seem to be in a somewhat moderate decline. Do we think that Star Wars The Old Republic is responsible for this? My response to that would have to be, yes. People are getting tired of the same MMO RPG all the time doing the exact same thing. People want a change. What do you think, Ed?
I would say yes and no. The Old Republic is new. It's different. It's seriously addictive. Hence why we've named this thing Star Wars Addicts Anonymous, because we're really going to have to start up a group for that.
Damn right.
But at the same time, WoW has so many people following it. The only thing that could probably kill WoW is Blizzard.
This is true. The only thing that could kill WoW is Blizzard, but I'm getting the feeling that LucasArts, BioWare, and EA may give them a hand in the long run. In the short term, Star Wars won't overtake WoW, but coming from an experienced WoW player myself, if I had a choice between when World of Warcraft came out and Star Wars came out, I wouldn't have even mentioned WoW in the same breath.
Yeah, completely different games.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're running out of time here, folks. I hope you get to hear this, and I hope they actually invite us back. So for Ed, my name is Colin, and we will see you next time.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.